Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you very much, Jay. Today we will continue our study on the city of Damascus in the end times. Damascus is one of those four major cities in Bible prophecy. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40, you'll see the phrase, at the time of the end. That's describing the tribulation period, that seven-year period of judgment after the rapture and before the second coming of Jesus Christ. This time will have three major personalities or nations as major players during that period of time, the time of the end. One of them will be the Antichrist, who comes to power and actually starts the clock ticking on the seven-year period of time with a confirmation of the peace treaty, Daniel 9:27. There are two major nations that are mentioned. That would be Syria, king of the north, and Egypt, king of the south. This prophetic scenario seems to be in play even today, with the civil war waging on in Syria and the unrest in Egypt. We'll begin our study in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. Please take your Bible and go with me to Daniel chapter 11.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
And at the time of the end. Now, that's as definite as you can probably get it. At the time of the end, that phrase is also used over in chapter 12. It's talking about a period of time, that day leading up to the rapture of the church. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. There are three personalities that I just read to you. The king of the south, the king of the north, and him. Him. Go back to chapter 11, verse 36, and let me show you what it says here. This is the fifth of five personalities that God gave Daniel to prophesy about many years before they came on the scene. In verse 2, he talks about King Ahasuerus, 59 years before he comes on the scene, as a mighty leader of the Persian Empire. In verses 3 and 4, he talks about Alexander the Great, 200 years before he comes on the scene, as the leader of the Grecian Empire. And then in verses 5 to 19, it talks about Antiochus the Great, who is the leader of the northern kingdom, which we'll define in a moment. And then from verse 20 to 35, it's talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, the madman. That's the fourth of the personalities that God gives to Daniel to reveal to the world in Bible prophecy. And this is the fifth one now, starting in verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. Now, that's almost any king, but it's defined as the Antichrist, as you continue to read. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation and be accomplished, for that which is determined shall be. He is the Antichrist. This willful king is one of 27 names for the Antichrist. Now, there are three things that have to happen after the rapture of the church. The rapture takes place, then the revived Roman Empire, those 10 horns have to come to power. Out of those 10 horns comes the little horn, the Antichrist. And the third thing to start the clock ticking on the seven-year tribulation period is the confirmation of the peace treaty. Look here in chapter 9 and verse 27. Chapter 9, 27 gives us a glimpse at the seven-year period of time. And here's what it says. Verse 27, chapter 9, book of Daniel. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is the Antichrist. The he here is going back to verse 26, the prince that shall come. He, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant, a peace treaty with many, with the Jewish people and their neighbors for 1 week. That's the seven-year period of time. And so the clock starts ticking on the tribulation period at the time of the confirmation of the peace treaty. Now, that is not the signing of the peace treaty. It's the confirmation. The word in Hebrew is gabar, G-A-B-A-R. It is not ever translated as signing a peace treaty. Often we talk about the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty. Dear friends, there are already three peace treaties in place with Israel and her neighbors right now. 1979, they signed the Camp David Accords, the Camp David Accords, a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. Anwar Sadat gave his life because he moved forward to develop a relationship with the Jewish nation of Israel. He signed the Camp David Accords at Camp David, of course, the presidential retreat area in Maryland. And that's the Camp David Accords. It's on the table. It's already there. There is a lot of discussion by Mohamed Morsi, who's the new president of Egypt out of the Muslim Brotherhood, saying that they may negate the Camp David Accords, but it's still on the table. In September 13, 1993, in Washington, D.C., they signed another peace treaty. This one was the Oslo Accord between Israel and the Palestinian people. On that afternoon at the White House lawn, there was the president then of the United States, Bill Clinton, also Yitzhak Rabin, then Prime Minister of Israel, and Yasser Arafat, the head of the PLO. And those three men signed the Oslo Accords, a peace treaty between Israel and with the Palestinian people. That's on the table. It's never been totally done away with. There's a third peace treaty. October of 1994, all the leaders in the Middle East got together in the Arava, which is the southern part of the Jordan Valley down near Eilat, southernmost city in Israel, and they signed the peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. King Hussein of Jordan was there. Yitzhak Rabin, Prime Minister of Israel, and all of his minions were there. Bill Clinton again came, and they stood. I was there. Every journalist that you can think about was there. All the major journalists of the world at that time, all the great journalists were there to witness that peace treaty. And I was as close as I am from here to Ron from these three men, Bill Clinton, who was President of the United States, King Hussein of Jordan, Yitzhak Rabin, Prime Minister of Israel. I hold in my hand the peace treaty they signed right there. It says on this, Treaty of Peace between the State of Israel and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, 26 October 1994. I was there to witness it. These are three peace treaties, Camp David Accord, Oslo Accord, the peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. They're all on the table. They're all there right now. And what the Antichrist is going to do is not sign a peace treaty. He's going to confirm. Gabar in Hebrew means to confirm, to strengthen, to make stronger. He doesn't have to sign a peace treaty. These treaties are already on the table. They've never been normalized. They're not working. But he's going to come along and say, hey, I can confirm this treaty. I can make it work. And so the Antichrist has to have a capability of bringing peace to the earth. He's the supposed Messiah who brings peace. May I show you the peace treaty of Daniel 9:27? There it is, on the table, not working, waiting for the Antichrist to confirm it. That has to happen before Damascus destroyed. Antichrist confirming a peace treaty. Daniel 9:27 says that's exactly what he does. Go back to chapter 11. In chapter 11, starting in verse 5, I told you that Daniel is given five personalities in the future. 59 years before the first one comes on the scene, 200 years before the second, and 300 years before Antiochus the Great comes on the scene, Daniel prophesies about him coming. Not of himself, the Holy Spirit of God breathed it into him. Look here in verse 5, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 5. And the king of the south shall be strong in one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. He's going to have a great rule in this time. And this is 300 years after Daniel got the message. This is about 2,500 years ago. Verse 6, and in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. This is so specific, and you can tell this is Bible prophecy. It meets the test of Deuteronomy chapter 18. If he's a prophet speaking for me, every detail that he gives is going to come to pass. Every single detail. And so this is going to happen. What happened in this period of time was the king of the south wasn't as strong as the king of the north. Where do we get these directions from? Back in verses 2 and 3, Alexander the Great comes to power. He's prophesied. At 32 years of age in Babylon, where his headquarters for the Grecian Empire is located, having conquered the known world, he dies at 32 years old. His kingdom is then divided into four parts, north, south, east, and west. The north and the south are mighty, strong kingdoms. The north being stronger. The east and the west are nebulous entities. They are really just a thought in the mind of these people living at this time. And so the king of the north realizes that he is powerful, but the king of the south understands that he is not as powerful. So he is offering his daughter to the king of the north to be married so they can form a coalition, a family relationship. Now, as we think about where these two locations are, here we're talking about two geographical locations. The king of the north, as defined by history, as defined by this passage of prophecy, is what we know as modern-day Syria. The king of the south is modern-day Egypt. Remember, all direction in the Bible is from Jerusalem. Ezekiel 5:5, God put Jerusalem in the center of the earth and all the nations around her. So the king of the north is modern-day Syria, the king of the south, modern-day Egypt. Now go to chapter 11 and verse 40, and we have a definition for these players who are going to be involved at the time of the end leading up to the return of Christ after the rapture of the church. Verse 40, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south shall push against him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Let's put the real names in there for him, king of the north, king of the south. Him is Antichrist. In fact, he, his, and him, those pronouns, are used 14 times from verses 36 to 45. That's always referring to the Antichrist. King of the north is Syria. King of the south is Egypt. They're going to come against him. Why are they going to come against him? Why would they attack the Antichrist? Well, what does the Antichrist do once he has come to power? He confirms a peace treaty. I held the peace treaty up. He confirms this peace treaty. If I see this dear lady by herself here and I say, ma'am, if you're concerned about being in the area, you think there's some dangerous men here that might bother you, I will write a contract to protect you. And when I write the contract with her, I'm guaranteeing her safety. But if I have to leave the campground and go someplace, all of a sudden she comes under attack. It's like attacking me because I have written a contract to protect her. And so then what would I do? I would rush back to help her in any way I possibly could. Well, now where does the Antichrist go once he has confirmed the peace treaty? He goes to Rome, Italy. We looked at Rome as the capital for the Antichrist for the first 3.5 years over the revived Roman Empire, over a ecclesiastical Babylon, a false religion. So he runs over to Rome from the Middle East. He hears that Israel is under attack. He guaranteed their safety. What does he do? Well, let's see what happens here. Verse 41. And he, that's the Antichrist, and he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Now, the implication is here that when he comes in, he goes to the north, he wipes out Syria. Hello, the destruction of Damascus in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. That prophecy, Isaiah 17. Fulfilled, and Damascus shall be a ruinous heap, as no city anymore. Antichrist actually does it.
Antichrist will play the major role in the destruction of Damascus. The prophecy of Isaiah 17 will be fulfilled in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. In the Middle East today, the stage is being set for these prophecies to be fulfilled. We'll continue and conclude this study on the destruction of Damascus next week. Please join us at that time. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...